With that, we are at 2:00 Central Time. It is time for our public hearing. We'll also go into our open forum following that. As I mentioned at the top of the meeting, if you do plan on speaking to the commission, we need you to sign in at the back of the room. So thank you for doing that. And we will have Nick, the department's attorney, will facilitate this section of our meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a reminder to all those who are here to make public comment, you'll be limited to 3 minutes. I will let you know when your time is nearing its end, at which point, please wrap them up. We will start with Julie Anderson, who is appearing virtually. Disregard that. We'll move on to George Vander, who is here in person.
Is that George Vandell?
Yes.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Darn low bid hearing aids, I apologize. My name is George Vandell. I live in Pierre. I'm here representing myself, Madam Chairman, members of the commission. I think I can be kind of brief here. Three items to go over real quickly. First, there's overwhelming no response to increasing this non-resident waterfowl license proposal. Okay. It's being made, this no response is from people who actually hunt waterfowl. These are the people who are out there and most affected by this are the ones who are saying no, and that includes residents and non-residents. I've had numerous non-resident conversations over the years, and they like the system the way it is because they know when they get here they're going to have a quality hunt. That's why you see non-residents saying, no, please don't increase this number. I just urge you to keep that in mind. Item two, as the number of non-residents increases, the number of residents decreases. That's a cause and effect. Whether you shake your head or not, I guess that's up to you. But frankly, the numbers are there. As the amount of commercialization increases, the middle class resident hunter numbers decline. They can't afford to pay the fees that it costs to hunt on a commercial operation. Not the truck drivers, not the teachers, not the people who own small businesses. They can't afford to do it. Item four, it's not all doom and gloom. The department has taken several positive steps lately to improve resident duck hunter numbers. And I'll talk about two of them specifically. The waterfowl access plan, which was implemented last October, is a great plan. It allows people to get in off the roads on a mowed trail and get to the water's edge. This is now on a map where you can go look at the map and a hunter can go scout these areas. Remember, it takes two things, access and opportunity. They can use the access to then determine if there's a huntable number of ducks on that slough and make their duck hunting plans. And it's not just for the people in the small boats. I've hunted some of these areas. There's people there who launch kayaks. There's people who just walk out from those sites because they can at least get their equipment down to the water's edge, they can park their vehicles, and they can access these areas. I think there's a tremendous opportunity that this has to increase resident waterfowl hunter numbers. The other final item is the three splash. Okay, at least that takes away the argument that I can't tell what the ducks are. And for those who are novice hunters, beginning hunters, they can opt for that three splash. They can go out and they can shoot three ducks. Okay, so those are two really positive steps that you've taken. I would encourage you to allow those steps to work and see how that impacts resident hunter numbers before you just add more non-resident hunter numbers. That's all I got. I appreciate your time. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer.
Are you reaching your 3 minutes, Mark?
Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Apologies, Madam Chair. Forgot to mention that this is a public hearing portion, not the open forum portion. We will start with item 13, which is the use of parks and public lands, tree stand and trail cameras. I don't have any sign-in sheets from anyone addressing that. Is there anyone here or online virtually who wishes to address that specific topic. Not hearing so, we'll move down to public hearing on item 14, which is time restrictions for use of state park systems in public lands. I have no sign-in sheets addressing that. Is there anyone either here in person or here virtually who wishes to speak to that item? Not hearing so, we'll move on to item 15, which is bighorn sheep hunting. Is there anyone present in person or virtually who wishes to speak to that topic? Not hearing so, we are moving to item 16 in the public hearing, which is the Custer State Park hunting seasons. Again, I have no sign-in sheets addressing that. Is there anyone here in person or virtually who wishes to address that topic? Not hearing so, we'll move to item 17, waterfowl hunting seasons. I have several sign-in sheets from those who wish to address this topic. We will start with Jake Sheffield.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First, thank you, commissioners, who took my call and the calls of others over the last week or two. Pretty great that I didn't have to call more of you more than once to answer on the first call, so I appreciate your time. I know you have lives outside of this, and your job's, you know, difficult as it is, so appreciate that. Here today, not just representing... Oh, sorry, pardon me. I'm Jake Sheffield. I'm from Brandon, South Dakota, here to speak about the non-resident waterfowl increase proposal.
Are you representing yourself or an organization?
Myself, but I'm also part of the South Dakota Waterfowl Association. So I am here, like I said, representing myself, South Dakota Waterfowl Association, South Dakota sportsmen, but also, in my mind, my children and you know, maybe their future generations. Born and raised in South Dakota, met my wife here, served in the Marine Corps. Afterwards, knew this is where I wanted to raise my kids. Part of that was because of the way I was raised with the hunting and the quality of hunting here and getting to be in the outdoors. Today, I just see this proposal as something that's kind of a direct threat to that vision. I'm going to focus on one point, and that is, you know, who or what does this benefit? U.S. Fish and Wildlife, you know, if you look at the facts, show a 7% decrease in overall duck population from 2022 to 2023. They show a 9% decrease since 1955. That's overall population. There are certain species of ducks that are declining at far greater rates. You know, contrary to popular belief, you know, they're not an unlimited resource, and neither is the habitat they occupy. They are not like pheasants. They have very specific requirements to reproduce and to thrive. So I don't see a benefit there to the wildlife or the ducks. Opposition to this proposal from South Dakota residents and non-residents is overwhelming. Additionally, I haven't seen anything put forth from the commission or anybody else to suggest that non-residents are banging down the doors for more licenses. I just haven't seen it. In fact, the public comments would prove otherwise, that they do like the way it is now. They like the quality of hunt, and that's from several different states. That's not just, you know, Minnesota or Iowa or border states. I've even seen comments from Alaska. So my question to you is, if it doesn't benefit the waterfowl, it doesn't seem like it's obviously something South Dakota residents or sportsmen or women like, and non-residents are saying, do not implement this, I have to ask, what is the benefit? We just heard testimony that we're going to decrease, we're proposing to decrease East River deer based on biological factors, based on population density. So that is factual sound data on why we're doing a decrease. Why is that not being applied to an increase for waterfowl? Lastly, I encourage commission members to remember why you accepted your seats. You've been entrusted with the stewardship and safeguarding some of the best wildlife and habitat in the world. You represent the very best that we have in South Dakota for wildlife management.
Reaching into your 3 minutes, sir.
All right, well, I thank you for my time. Thank you for my time.
Thank you, Jake. Yeah.
I apologize, I'm going to butcher this next name, but we next one wish to hear from Chuck. Is it Deutsch?
Chuck Dieter.
Dieter. Apologies, sir.
Yes.
Welcome, Chuck. We'll just have you introduce yourself and if you're representing yourself or an organization.
Hi, I'm Chuck Dieter from Brookings, representing myself, but I've been members of all these groups as well. This is the first time, I'm a retired professor, and it's the first time I've ever had a board member plus the secretary be one of my students, and Kevin reminded me of that last time. So it's kind of cool to see that. But anyway, when I teach wildlife management classes at SDSU, one of the things that we emphasized was that the departments of the state plus the commission, you deal first off with the resource, but then there's four publics. You have the residents, the landowners, non-residents, and then commercial outfits. And most people that live here want you to take care of the residents and landowners first. And I think that's appropriate. Non-residents and commercial, especially commercial outfits, they're making public their money off a public resource. And so anyway, I think it should be down. A lot of residents, I don't know if you believe this or not, but a lot of residents are getting the feeling that they're being pushed towards the bottom of those four publics, that commercial and non-residents are getting preference. I'm not saying everybody thinks that, but I do hear that a lot. We already have the most waterfowl hunters per capita in the country. North Dakota used to, but they lost a lot of them because of they have overrun with non-residents. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but we already have the most non-residents licenses in South Dakota for waterfowl in the history of South Dakota. This is the most we've had already. So you would just be adding more to what we already have. Number of places to hunt are going down. I don't know if you've been in eastern South Dakota, wetlands are being drained right and left. Well, you guys that live there know that. Every time you drain a wetland, it's one less place to hunt. And a lot of people now hunt private land and fields. I've got some landowner friends in that country that they just tell me they're getting tired of all the calls they get from people. So, you know. So anyway, real quick, I don't know if you know the commercialism in the state. I did a cursory look online. There's 25 commercial outfits operating, advertising from South Dakota, and there's 28 non-residents that guide in South Dakota. Most are from Minnesota, some from North Dakota, all the way as far as Louisiana, Pennsylvania, Washington. They come here to guide waterfowl. So, anyway. I'm not sure how many, you know, what the end goal is. Okay, is the end goal to have people on every section or to have unlimited numbers? I don't understand that. And the other guys already have said what I was going to say. So the only thing I would remind you, we already have twice as many non-resident pheasant hunters as we do residents. And I'd sure hate to see that happen with waterfowl. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Mm-hmm.
We'll next hear from Paul Lepisto.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Paul Lepisto representing the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. I won't take a lot of your time. I would urge you, if you have not read the written comments that the League submitted on this issue, to please do that before you vote. In that written comment, we're urging a no vote on this and a reinvigoration of resident waterfowl hunters in South Dakota. And we outline steps that we think will do that with both young hunters and even get some old hunters off the couch and back out in the wetlands and in the fields in the state. Statute says that allows you to do a 5% increase annually in what was passed several years ago by the legislature. Just because you're allowed to do that, it does not mean you should do that. You've heard plenty of people, and you'll hear more arguments why you should not do this. Let's reinvigorate South Dakota's passion for waterfowl. We would urge you a no vote on this proposal, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
next hear from John Simpson.
Welcome, Mr. Simpson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is John Simpson. Commission members and Mr. Secretary, I live here in Pier and I represent myself. I don't recall, but my dad started taking me duck hunting when I was 4 years old. This fall will be the 75th year for me. I'm looking forward to it. I was born and raised in North Dakota. I still go there as a non-resident. And I can honestly tell you the quality of hunting has dramatically declined in North Dakota because they have unlimited number of waterfowl licenses. I have a 9-year younger brother. He's quit waterfowl hunting because of access issues and competition. I'd rather not see that happen here in South Dakota. I believe we have some of the finest waterfowl hunting in the country, and I'd like to keep it that way for us and our visitors. I quickly looked through the resident, non-resident opportunity allocation stakeholder group, excuse me. The main themes, six of them, species abundance is kind of irrelevant, but last year I'd like to point out that the state of North Dakota had record numbers of Canada geese and mallards overwintering in their state because, as you probably know, agriculture's changed. Corn is growing way into Canada. When they have mild winters, we don't get the waterfowl we used to have. So species abundance is a moving target, but in North Dakota, their numbers broke records last year. 300,000 geese, 45,000 mallards. Unfortunately, we don't do a midwinter waterfowl survey that I know of. I believe we should reestablish that. But North Dakota does, and that's interesting data to come from them. Demand for licenses, I think there might have been some leftovers from non-residents the last couple of years. If there were, I don't understand why we need to increase the number of allowable this year. Retain, reactivate, and recruit. I think data shows that the biggest reason is access, that we're not retaining and reactivating hunters like me. I am slowing down and I don't wade quite as far as I used to, and I like to spend more time in the boat than standing in the water. But you got to keep that in mind when you're talking about increasing non-resident numbers that could have an impact on access for residents. Social issues. They're out there. There's competition between both residents and non-residents and between residents to find the hot spot where you're going to get a good mallard shoot. One item that I felt was missing from the main themes was history. The issue of non-resident waterfowl hunters in South Dakota goes back to right post-World War II. And it was illegal for a number of years for non-residents to hunt in South Dakota. We allow them now, and as Chuck said, maximum all-time high numbers. So it's an interesting historical thing to look at, and I think we have to keep that in mind. With that, I'll just ask that as the South Dakota Game Fish Parks Commission, you keep South Dakota resident hunters foremost in your mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simpson.
We'll next hear from Jake Sheffield. We'll next hear from Michael Moe.
Okay. Welcome. Thanks for the opportunity, Commissioners. My name is Michael Moe from Brandon, South Dakota. I'm an avid duck hunter here representing myself and my kids. I don't know what we're going to go after on this. I did a little research on it. The 315 license, which looks like it's proposed, the additional money would be $32,000. If we raise the licenses, $50 for the 10-day and $25 for the 3-day, that'd be a total with the current license of $250,000. If we're after money, I think we need to dig there. Comparable states with that, Arkansas, one of the premium duck states, which I think South Dakota is. It's why I live here. $200 for a license, plus a $50 habitat stamp. I think that was on the table a little earlier on this year. North Dakota, $103 for their short license, $153 for their two 7 days and 14, kind of similar to ours. The residents spoke out, I do believe, pretty loud and clear, like a duck call on the pond in the morning. Opposed 212 comments for residents, 4 residents supported. Non-residents, 25 of them oppose it. Non-residents support 3. I have taken non-residents out hunting in South Dakota. Had some of the best hunts in their life, and they wrote in and said that they enjoy it and they want to keep it the same. I also have family from Minnesota that we used to hunt in some of these areas contested, and they got a license every year a couple times and then every other. Brings me to our next point. I did a little research on the Game Fishing Park site for licenses. The 00B, which is the one that there's going to be 210 added to, 34 people had 2 years preference points. I think they're banking them. 471 had 1 year preference points. That means just about everybody who applied got that license. The 00V, which is the 3 days, and the 00Z, which I think there was license added to that, 180 were on the second choice. That's leftover. So that means there's people who could apply on the second draw, and 18. I talked to a few of you, but South Dakota's got a premium deer state. And it takes 3 to 5 years to get a draw West River deer tag for any deer. I put these waterfowl licenses for non-residents up in that quality, in my personal opinion. With that being said, I think we should maybe put a little more education and dig for other things than just raising the licenses. And as always, for your commissioners, please don't forget about us residents, and thank you for everything you do. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll next hear from Dana Rogers.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Madam Chair Rissler, Commissioners, Secretary Roblin, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today. I'm speaking to you the first time on behalf of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. My testimony is on behalf of thousands of South Dakota resident sportsmen. Few things strike a chord to them as seeing something that they're so passionate and love so much be put at risk. Many of these people, this is not just mere recreation, it's their lifeblood. They grew up duck hunting. It's their favorite thing to do in the world. It's not just a pastime. Some of these threats do come from habitat loss, loss of access due to leasing, and continually increasing competition from non-residents on a few remaining quality pieces of public hunting land. The North American model of wildlife conservation and the public trust doctrine highlight warnings such as this. Our public trust resources are not for sale. A landowner's land is his. That's his right to do with what he wants. Businessman's storefront, same thing, that's their business. But to continue to sell and profit or push for more profit through non-resident tourism monies predicated on the back of the wildlife and the citizens of South Dakota should never be a factor in the equation. We South Dakota sportsmen live here 24/7, 365. We pay taxes, buy our food, clothes, gas, vehicles, and goods here in our local towns and communities. Continuing to leverage out-of-staters who come in for a week or two versus the people that live here all the time over our own citizens, that's a non-starter. At my last look at the public comments yesterday, you'd received 227 individual responses, 97 of which were in opposition, and that included a few non-residents as well. There were only 7 people in support in those comments, and I would ask and challenge to look at those people who supported this. I think you'll find some very interesting things in how they make their living. Last month and today, you heard and will hear several more passionate pleas of opposition testimony, firsthand accounts of how our citizens have been directly affected and through this constant encroachment of more out-of-state permits from these waterfowl hunters. Sometimes unregulated guides, and sometimes those aren't even South Dakota citizens, as we heard before from Mr. Dieter. If this passes, this will be the highest number of non-resident licenses since the World War II era. Highest ever since then. If someone were to vote yes for this, I'd just ask them some simple questions. What scientific data point or other means of determination gives valid reasoning to continue to further erode the access enjoyment of our South Dakota resident water bottlers? We strenuously and politely ask that you please prioritize South Dakota residents and vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Well, next here from Cody Warner.
Good afternoon, Commission members, Secretary Roebling. My name is Cody Warner. I'm president of the South Dakota Waterfowl Association. That's who I'm representing today. I'm testifying today in opposition to the 5% proposal in non-resident licenses. There's been some really good discussion so far. There will probably be some more people coming after this. It's obviously a very hot topic issue. I believe I've talked to most of you. Three of you got to meet last night at a contentious meeting in Marshall County. So this is on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. We've heard a few things, and I just wanted to kind of dive into a little bit of the data that maybe you haven't thought of. Every year, if you get a duck license, whether it's resident or non-resident, you get an email after the season. You say, it's basically a satisfaction email, what county you hunted, how many ducks you harvested, how many days you hunted. And I wanted to look at the non-resident side, because I wanted to see, are our non-residents happy that come here? I looked at the satisfaction value. If you guys have ever filled this out online, you get a 1 to 7. You know, 1 being the worst, 7 being the happiest you've ever been. As a non-resident, the ones that filled this out, they had a 5.7 satisfaction value. Our non-residents are really happy when they come here, and that tells you the product that you are producing right now is second to none. Residents actually had a less satisfaction value, just under at 5.09. So you have a really good product, and I just fear if you keep adding licenses to this, that satisfaction value is going to go down. The other point I wanted to make is, if you're being a realist and there needs to be, and if your opinion there needs to be licenses added, look at where you're adding them. I took a look at the 10-day licenses and the non-residents, where they were spending their time. 56% of their time, days spent, was in Brown, Clark, Day, Marshall, and Roberts County, so the Northeast. 25% of the 10-day licenses were spent in Day County. I live there, I can attest. At certain times of the year, it's busy. So if that's something to think about in the future, if potentially there's some room in some areas, but continue to putting these licenses in the same areas year in year, you're going to have people not hunting, you're going to have non-residents not wanting to come there. Like I said, I urge you to take a look at that. And hopefully, with the decisions you guys are making in the future and right now, waterfowl will continue to be world class in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Porter.
We'll next hear from Zachary Hunke.
I'm your first online. Is it working?
Yes, we can see you and hear you. Go ahead, Zach.
Awesome. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. My name is Zach Hunke. I am from Watertown, South Dakota. I volunteer as president of the Wildlife Federation. I do that for my passion and my family. So this is the second year in a row that this body is considering a proposal to increase the number of non-resident licenses by the maximum allowed by the state law. This year it came from the commission. As I hope you all are aware, and clearly it's what's been said here, that the opposition is immense, almost 100% again this year. It's not 100%, but it's above 90. And you've got hundreds of written comments that have come in opposition to this proposal. So if we take a look at that, I'm an avid waterfowl hunter, and I have been my entire life here in this state. I don't know how my use days compare to any one of yours youth stays up in Northeast South Dakota. But I do know that a lot of the individuals who are writing in do actively hunt and are doing so because they're passionate. We're the users, we're the license holders, and we're the economy of waterfowl hunting. Satisfaction rates for our non-residents have been historically high. That's because their states have already taken the path of short-term gains, and they've exchanged long-term losses. Land use has changed, license allocations have changed, migration patterns have changed, and our neighboring states, as well as our Canadian neighbors to the north, have seen decreasing satisfaction rates. What has made our state great is the fact that we care. We care about having sustainable waterfowl resource with high opportunity and satisfaction. We care about spending local because we are the business owners. We care about our relationships with our neighbors, and we care about providing a great experience. We are the people who support this economy. We are the ones with the boots in the mud hunting waterfowl every season. If our testimony in opposition doesn't have an effect on this decision, then whose does? I feel that it's important that us as sportsmen are transparent as possible with each and every one of you in regards to our thoughts and opinions, because trust is the largest factor in any relationship. Today, I get the great opportunity to be a messenger for some of my peers, but you don't have to simply take my word for it. I would encourage you to attend or continue to attend any of your local sportsmen's meetings. I know that many of you do and have, and I appreciate all of your time and willingness to selflessly protect and manage our game and fish resource. I'll be online if you guys have any questions, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
Those are all the sheets I have. Is there anyone else here physically present that wishes to take advantage of this public hearing portion of the commission meeting? Is there anyone else present virtually that wishes to speak in the public hearing portion of this commission meeting? We'll move on then to the